His name is Peter Baldwin, and he's the founder of Bird Dogs Shorts. You've probably seen him on Shark Tank, where Mark Cuban obliterated his pitch. Look, Mark, he'll admit it. The invention of the first ever stretch khaki shorts that feel amazing, look amazing, and can wear literally anywhere wasn't his best idea. But he's got more, like Dog Trader. Just like Auto Trader, but you can sell your old dog. Eh? Mark, I know you'd invest if you just gave him one more shot. So go to birddogs.com/radio and join the 2 million men who think Bird Dogs shorts are a great idea. Or DM Mark Cuban and tell him to give Peter one more shot.
Life comes with a lot of decisions, and it can be hard to know the right path sometimes. A therapist can help you map out what you really want so you trust yourself to make great choices and feel excited about the future. BetterHelp offers convenient, professional online therapy on your schedule, however you want it, by phone, chat, or video call. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/positive.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I do not want to sound like a broken record. You know me. I don't really stay true to any form. Just like to keep you guessing. But I could probably start every show, lead every show with Ohtani between now and the end of the month and probably through the end of the baseball regular season, maybe beyond, if in fact he gets traded to a team that makes the playoffs. This is what we are staring at with Shohei Ohtani. It's not just about showtime. It's about the potential impact a trade could have on the balance of power in Major League Baseball. It's incredible to watch him, but just as much fun to think about the possibilities. Now, I hate it for the Angels. I've told you so many times, it is past due for the Angels to have a date with October. They are dragging their feet to ask October to take their hand, to be courting October. It's past due. But this is the pattern the Angels follow. They're now fading. A fade that started with a bunch of injuries before the All-Star break, and it's not gotten any better. Though we did hear from manager Phil Nevin on Monday that Shohei Ohtani is on pace to start come Friday on the mound. So he's DHing right now, on pace to start Friday on the mound. That's great news. But there's no Mike Trout, and they're missing other members of their roster. They've been hit by injuries, and they've kind of fallen apart. So now you watch the Angels because of Ohtani. Does it mean they're giving up? No. Although some teams are. They're starting to walk him intentionally. So the Angels are a game below 500. They've lost 7 of their last 10, but Ohtani is still the lead, worth being the lead, especially when teams decide to pitch to him. I think he's getting into the whole bat flip exercise. So after the Yankees intentionally walk him earlier in the game, in the 7th inning, they decide, following a conference on the mound, they'll go ahead and take their chances.
Here's the pitch. He swings and drives the ball deep out into left center field. It's out by the wall, and that one is out of here. They pitch to Ohtani, and he burns them. And tonight on this Monday night, it is showtime.
When is it not? When is it not showtime? That home run in the 7th inning ties the game. Angels stun the Yankees. It's 3-3 at that point. Now, he did come up in the bottom of the ninth with the game still tied. Some awkward swings. Looked like he was working out, maybe a little tension in his back. He ends up striking out. So, yeah, the Yankees got the best of him then in the ninth inning. But the game still hanging in the balance. And for the Yankees, they've got their own issues. Can't talk about teams that are dealing with challenges and who have fallen off the pace if you're not talking about the New York Yankees. So this road trip coming out of the All-Star break, even without Aaron Judge still, they're trying to find some solid footing.
Here's the pitch. He swings and drives the ball deep out into left center field. It's out by the wall. And that one is out of here. They pitch to Ohtani and he burns them. And tonight on this Monday night, it is showtime. Ironic, three hits, 10 times up with the Angels this year. Lines a ball into left field, and this is going to win the ball game. By the time Kiner Falefa gets it, no chance for a throw to the plate. And how about Michael Stefanik? That's the biggest hit in his major league career right there. And the Angels walk it off against the Yankees tonight in the bottom of the 10th and win this ball game 4-3. You can put a halo over this one.
Put up, and I didn't realize all of them have been either an error or a wild pitch or something. No, it was just a cool moment for Mikey. You know, he doesn't get to play much, and you're going to play tomorrow. I know that. But it's just a great at bat. It was just a lot of cool things happened today to make that, to get to that point, but just a really neat moment for him.
So a little bit of a Phil Nevin reaction, even in the moment coming in the last couple of minutes as the Angels walk off against the Yankees in the 10th inning. Just thought you might want to hear the Ohtani home run again. That's Terry Smith on Angels Radio. So yeah, they pull within a game of 500, but have fallen to fourth place now in the AL West. And meanwhile, the Yankees are just keeping their heads above water in what is the toughest division in baseball, the AL East. So we'll look at some standings coming up a little bit later on. But that game just most recently in the books. So we're starting the show that way. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Good to have you with us. Thanks so much for hanging out. What is now a Monday night? So whether you limped through your Monday like I did, oh my goodness, sleep is so, so stressful on Mondays. And I think that's partly what keeps me awake. So I flip my schedule on the weekends. And then when it comes time to sleep on Monday morning after hosting Overnight Sunday, I'm so exhausted. I feel like there's no way I can't sleep all the way through the day on Monday. But I generally wake up right after lunch. Sometimes it could be a late lunch, 1 o'clock, maybe even 12:30. And I get so nervous about not going back to sleep that I stress myself out. And I didn't go back to sleep on Monday afternoon. So that was rough. I spent most of the afternoon, I finally gave up and got out of bed. The dog was click, 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 clicking all around the hardwood floors with her toenails. So she wasn't sleeping either. I suppose there's some solace in that, but not really because she's loud. So I finally gave up and got out of bed, but I spent the next 6 hours yawning. I yawned all the way through my workout. Just couldn't yawn through dinner. Couldn't quite wake up. Thankfully, another coffee has helped me and done the trick. And I have a general shot of adrenaline that always greets me when the microphone goes on. But yeah, Monday was pretty tough. So whether you were like me and you were limping through your Monday, or whether you soared through your Monday because you had a great weekend, a lot of rest, maybe you're on vacation, so it doesn't matter how much rest you get. But we're happy to have you with us, happy to keep you company. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. True to my word, I know sometimes I run it a little behind, especially when producer Jay is on vacation. It's just me handling the social, but I did put up photos, the photos that I promised from my climb to the crown of the Statue of Liberty. There are two posts on Facebook, each one featuring a series of photos with a little bit of an explanation, a description of the photos. And I haven't been on Facebook since I posted them, so I'm not sure your reaction, though I do know often when I put photos up, you all are really excited. So thank you. Twitter has been inundated with your responses to my photos. So if you haven't seen them on Twitter, again, it's A-Law Radio or on our Facebook page. And our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We do have more baseball that we will get to, a battle of first place teams, kind of barely, because the Tampa Bay Rays are clinging to their lead in the AL East. If you missed my conversation with Rob Long in Baltimore on Monday morning, a long time ago, but he joined us in the final hour of that show, our Sunday night into Monday morning show. And at the time, the Orioles were the hottest team in baseball, and they're still one of the hottest teams in baseball, having won 8 of their last 10. They finally did lose on Monday evening, but the Orioles have reeled in the Rays now, and they're just a game up in the AL East. Notwithstanding the fact that the Rays are backpedaling, Rays and Rangers still first place teams, and they started a series on Monday, so we'll get to that. And also, a game postponed, but a game postponed with a tie because of weather, which means they can't completely biff that game. And so also a game that features two teams that have playoff aspirations in the Giants and the Reds. So a lot to get to on the baseball diamond, and we certainly will. Football, though, taking over until Ohtani hit his 35th home run, which leads Major League Baseball. Football really dominated the headlines on Monday. It was the last day for teams to negotiate and work out deals, for teams to sign their franchise-tagged players to long-term deals. The only tagged players, now not every team tags a player, but the only players who did not agree to long-term contracts were running backs. And this continues what has been a major theme of this offseason. Running backs either getting cut and not finding new homes, or in the case of Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, Tony Pollard, three running backs who are tagged, meaning they were slapped with the franchise tag by their respective teams and did not reach long-term contracts. It's not the case with every running back. We know that to be sure because, for instance, Christian McCaffrey, he has a relatively new deal and he's making, what, $16 million coming up in 2023? We know that the Minnesota Vikings balked at paying Dalvin Cook the $12.6 million that he was signed for in 23. Alvin Kamara of the Saints, $15 million. Derrick Henry, $12.5 million. You do have running backs who are paid by their teams commensurate with what the team believes to be their value, but certainly higher than Pollard, Jacobs, Barkley. Right now, those three are set to make $10.1 million on the franchise tags this upcoming season. Now they have to wait till the season is done to get any type of new guaranteed money and a long-term contract. And if you didn't see it, I wouldn't say every one of the NFL's running backs pitched a fit or complained about it on social media, but a lot of them did. A lot of them did. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. from Derrick Henry, who is getting paid, to guys like Austin Eckler, to Saquon himself with the cryptic tweet, "It is what it is," to Jonathan Taylor, to Josh Jacobs, trying to set the record straight. It's even a source of consternation for Christian McCaffrey, who says this is criminal, as Barkley, Jacobs, and Pollard go, I don't want to say unsigned, because they do have deals for this upcoming year, but unsigned long-term. McCaffrey, this is criminal. Three of the best players in the entire league, regardless of position. Jonathan Taylor puts it this way: if you're good enough, they'll find you. If you work hard enough, you'll succeed. If you succeed, you boost the organization. And then, doesn't matter, you're a running back. Najee Harris: I agree with my running back brothers around the NFL. History will show you need running backs to win. We set the tone every game and run through walls for our team and lead in many ways. This notion that we deserve less is a joke. That's just a smattering of the reaction from inside the NFL after this trio of backs does not agree to long-term contracts. Now, Tony Pollard did sign his franchise tag, so he is not expected to miss time going forward. But what about Barkley and Jacobs? Coming up, top of the hour, so 45 minutes from now, we'll check in with our Raiders insider, Hondo Carpenter. Always good to have him on the show, from Sports Illustrated. When will the Raiders and Jacobs be reunited? Or when will Jacobs report? Because as we've talked about, training camps, at least for a bunch of rookies, begin on Tuesday. If you were with us on last night's show, I went over this and just kind of blows me away. I kept saying it because I was trying to process it tomorrow. So the final hour of the show, which wraps up on Monday morning, I just kept saying the rookies. There's so many rookies reporting tomorrow. And now it's Monday night. And coming up in mere hours, the rookies for the Falcons, the Ravens, the Bills, the Chiefs, the Chargers, the Dolphins, the Saints, the San Francisco 49ers, they're all reporting on Tuesday. Now that's rookies. Veterans usually have, not always, but usually, sometimes rookies and veterans report at the same time. For some teams, it's only a day apart or a couple of days apart. In some cases, it's a full week until the veterans report. Like, for instance, the Niners. The rookies report on Tuesday, but then the vets don't have to be there until next Tuesday. But whatever the plan, whatever the dates, it's here. It is absolutely here. So we'll get the scoop. We'll get the deets from Hondo Carpenter. Also, got to ask him how Jimmy G is coming along, because training camp is here. When could we see Jimmy Garoppolo back on the field himself? So there is plenty to talk about from the football world. Le'Veon Bell, he's got a message for Steelers fans. And speaking of that, Joel Embiid has got quite the message for basketball fans, NBA fans, maybe specific to the Philadelphia 76ers. I would love to hear from you again on Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page too. We're mixing a little college football because SEC Media Days are taking place. But straight ahead, Baltimore Orioles riding an 8-game win streak, leading in the late stages against the Dodgers. How did that one plan out? Plan out? Pan out? Yeah, either one, but pan probably fits better. How did it pan out? How did it play out? We'll see there There's the combo. Play and pan. And I made up a new, well, it's not a new word, but it's a new word in this situation. It's Monday. I told you. I told you it was a brutal Monday in terms of sleep. But I'm here. And that's half the battle. After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
The second half of the baseball season is here, and each game means a little bit more. We're talking pennant races and wild card chases, with each pitch bringing us closer to the playoffs. The free Odyssey app lets you listen to live play-by-play of your local team, so no matter what you're up to, you'll never have to miss another game. Download the free Odyssey app today and keep baseball close by all summer long. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. Odyssey.
Mountcastle pulls it fair. It rolls down the left field line. It'll skid on the grass towards the track. Santander is around to score. O'Hearn stops at third. Ryan Mountcastle coming through with men in scoring position. An RBI double, and the Orioles with a 1-0 lead in the first.
You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Call Amy at 855-212-4CBS.
Before the stands were even full, before the late arriving crowd had a chance to settle in, the Orioles already had a 1-0 lead, and then a 2-0 lead, and a 3-0 lead over the visiting Los Angeles Dodgers. By the time Adley Rutschman homered in the fifth inning, the Orioles were up 4-1. And it looked like they could be headed for their ninth consecutive win. In fact, I saw some of you post on our Facebook page or respond to my link on Twitter, the conversation with Rob Long in Baltimore from Monday morning. How did the Orioles build a contender? How did the pieces fall into place? What about the tough American League East? Hottest team in baseball, all that jazz. You all responded. Some of you told me they were headed for their ninth consecutive win. Well, they were until they weren't.
I mean, if he hits it straight to the left center field gap, he's got three bases easily. That's how much room they're giving it. 0-2. Swung on. It is to the left center field gap and deep. That ball's not going to be caught. It is gone. A grand slam for Chris Taylor gives the Dodgers the lead, 6-4. His sixth career grand slam as he hammers it into the Oriole bullpen. Chris Taylor with two outs turns this game around in the sixth inning. Ryan Brazier set to go. The pitch swung on and hit in the air deep to left field, but playable for Chris Taylor. He's got room in front of the big notch in left center field. He makes the catch. The ball game is over, and the Dodgers win it by a 6-4 score. Chris Taylor's sixth career grand slam, his second in his last four games that he's played.
Good moment for Chris Taylor of the Dodgers, considering he spent some time on the injured list. Tim Neverett there on Dodgers radio. So yeah, the Dodgers are able to snap the Orioles' win streak. What about the Rays then at the top of the American League East? Because it's mid-July, but man, we got some tight races going on. So I'm not above scoreboard watching at this point in the baseball season, these dog days of summer.
Swinging the ball, hit high and deep to right center field. Siri racing after to the track at the wall. He looks out of here. This game is tied. Ezekiel Duran with a two-run home run.
The set by Fairbanks and the 1-1. That's way outside. He gets by. Here comes Smith. He scores standing up. The Rangers walk off the Rays in the opening game of this series on a wild pitch. Fellas come out of the dugout. They're bouncing in foul ground near the first base coach's box. What a way to end it. What a way to win it, and what a way to lose it. Rangers win it 3-2. Texas perfect in this homestand. They improved to 56-39.
It felt like it came out of my hand real hot, and unfortunately real not near the strike zone. Yeah, tough way to lose. Tough way to, you know, to try and skirt the danger and put yourself in a spot to escape and then try and do too much and have it in like that.
So that ball just slipped out of his hand. That's tough. I mean, it is the middle of the summer, and there are some hot temps and some steamy parts of the country in the middle of July. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So the Rangers walk off against the Rays on a wild pitch. The call's there on Rangers Radio. And Texas scores its runs in the sixth and the ninth. So the Rangers now have four wins in a row. But the Rays have dropped seven of their last 10. They catch a break, though, with the Orioles not winning on Monday. Otherwise, that division lead would belong to not one, but two teams. And after the Rays have essentially set the pace for most of the first half in Major League Baseball, not just in the American League. Remember, the Braves had a really hot month of June on into the early stages of July. And so they took over as the best team at the All-Star break. But the Rays were really the team that was setting the pace. And they are sitting on 60 wins now. I think, what did we hear just before the, not before the break, but at the actual midway point, that it was the first time in their franchise history they'd had so many wins. 50-something wins, 52 wins, whatever, at the actual midway point. So the Rays are working on history for them, yeah, but they've dropped seven of their last 10, and because the AL East is so good and the Orioles are surging, that lead is all but gone. And you can't ignore the Toronto Blue Jays. They've won four in a row, eight of their last 10, so they're now within 5.5 games of the Rays. And then the Red Sox and, in the bottom of the division, the Yankees. Now, we talked about them with the Angels and the walk-off in Anaheim. So I'm not going to go back over that. They're still waiting for Aaron Judge. The offense has really been scuffling. But the point that I want to make, though, is that the Yankees are actually 5 games above 500, would be leading the AL Central, but they're in the basement of their own division. They're the 5th team out of 5 in the AL East, though with their record, they would be the first place team in the AL Central. They wouldn't be that far out in the NL Central either. And furthermore, really in any division except for the AL East, which is real tough. So they're battle tested. You play the hand you're dealt. They are battle tested. I will say that whoever comes out of the AL East and survives into October will certainly be ready for whatever they would see on the postseason stage. All right, coming up, one running back willing to voice his frustration here on CBS Sports Radio. Another former NFL running back, well, he regrets his decision to hold out the way he did. Maybe a cautionary tale for Josh Jacobs and Saquon Barkley, because there are reports that the two of them will hold out, though we don't know how long. And at the top of the hour, so roughly 30 minutes from now, we'll check in with our Raiders insider to see what he says about how far apart the team and the athlete and what this means for them moving forward. And because we love our quarterbacks, of course, we're going to have to ask about Jimmy Garoppolo. So you can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or my Twitter, A-Law Radio. Then our Facebook page, too. Good to hear from so many of you. It was a good summer weekend, a good climb to the crown of the Statue of Liberty, and I love, love, love sharing the photos. I know I have a blog where I do a lot of writing, but I don't know. I'm kind of considering switching over, be like the USA Today of blogs, where it's more pictures than actual words.
Jones takes the snap, rolls right, shovel pass for Barkley. Barkley in for the two-point conversion. Oh, a little shovel pass to Saquon, and then he did the rest, taking on defenders, and the Giants have the lead, 21-20 with 106 to go.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Bob Papa, the voice of Giants Radio, and oh, that makes me miss football. It's funny, I had a conversation with a fellow football nerd and fellow host here at CBS Sports Radio on Monday, and we were both excited about the fact that training camps are returning because there's a little electricity. There's always more of a buzz in the business, meaning the sports radio and TV business, sports broadcasting industry, when football is in play, when football is in sesh, if you will. But it's still the dog days of summer, and I'm not quite ready to let go of that. I got a lot of plans. Making plans and got a lot of plans between now and I'm going to say Labor Day weekend. I pretty much have every weekend spoken for with some type of activity because I want to take advantage as many water activities as I possibly can. My big lament is that I have not yet pulled the golf clubs out of my utility room, which bums me out, but had some other distractions and some other fun activities. So I'm not sad about that. Just, they're calling my name. So fairly soon, it's just, oh my gosh, when it's 100 degrees with the heat index and the humidity is 95%. And again, in my neighborhood on Monday, smell of smoke. So steamy and smoky, not a good combination at all. And it's been off and on thunderstorms pretty much every other day. In some cases, for the past 3 weeks, it's been consecutive days in a row. And I'm not complaining. I'm happy with the rain. I'd rather have rain than drought, but boy, does my yard slash jungle need some attention this week. And I just haven't had a chance to get the golf clubs out of their hiding place or their resting place, I should say, for the winter. But if you missed my story about climbing to the crown of the Statue of Liberty, it was incredible. I've done some really cool stuff already this summer. So make sure you check out my Twitter account, A-Law Radio, and I did follow through on my promise, and I put them up on our Facebook page, too, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. The boys of summer, not just baseball now, because we also have training camps getting underway, getting that steamy, I'm trying to think of the, some of the steamy, sticky, icky sessions that behind them, right? So in July, we have the training camps that start, not a lot of padded practices. Quarterbacks wear red jerseys, but of course they do have to start anyway. They have to log a certain number of days and start to put in their systems and be ready to blast forward once all the veterans are in camp. So it's just a rite of passage for these rookies, a rite of passage in the NFL. It's still definitely the dead of summer. We will have access to some of the coaches, some of the players now as we move forward. But you shouldn't expect a whole lot of information. A lot of the deadlines for contracts have passed, and that it does include the deadline on Monday for this franchise tag group of players to get their long-term deals done. And now, for the three running backs, including Saquon Barkley of the Giants, who was such a huge asset for them last year, one of the big reasons why they made the playoffs as the third team out of the NFC Beast. I mean, Saquon Barkley was Daniel Jones' best friend. Daniel should be thanking Saquon in large part for him getting a brand new deal. So even as we get into training camp, yes, we've got this slow burn. It's the muggy, buggy, no huggy. It's the sticky. It's the icky. It's the summertime. It's still the dog days. All that of that is true. But you've got some disgruntled players who are considering holding out. You've got Saquon Barkley and Josh Jacobs, who reportedly will not report. That sounds funny. Who reportedly will not show up for training camps. So how long does it last? How much does it linger? How much does it cast a shadow over the Giants, over the Raiders, who are waiting for their quarterback to get healthy as well? In the case of the Giants, it's year number two of their offensive system. Brian Daboll, the NFL Coach of the Year last season, But man, they've got to build on what they did, right? They're in the same division as the Eagles, who went to the Super Bowl. It's not going to be an easier path for them this season. So they'd like to have Barkley in camp. But it doesn't sound like that is in the offing or in the cards for the Giants. And what about the Raiders? I'll ask Hondo Carpenter coming up at the top of the hour when he joins us from Las Vegas. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. As I mentioned earlier this hour, you've got a lot of running backs who are grousing, a lot of running backs who are frustrated, even those who are getting paid. And we've had all kinds of situations this offseason. Joe Mixon with a new deal, newly restructured deal, if you will. Ezekiel Elliott getting released by the team that paid him a ton of money. Well, drafted him early and then paid him a ton of money going back a few years ago. Dalvin Cook, not because the Vikings don't want him, but because they don't want to pay what he was signed to make in 2023. So I think with Joe Mixon and the Bengals, you kind of look around at the landscape and recognize, okay, there's some really good running backs out there. I'm not going to take my chances. I don't want to go out there and hit the open market. I want to stay with the Bengals. Especially after a year in which his numbers dropped. He was a Pro Bowler in 2021 and had a career high 1,200 rushing yards. But yeah, when those numbers dropped, the Bengals had leverage to be able to say, we're not sure we want to carry this much of a cap hit with our running back. I think it was just shy of $13 million. They didn't know if Joe Mixon would return. In fact, his agent wasn't sure either. But the Bengals made it happen. All right, well, that's not been the case with a lot of running backs. Many of them frustrated with the market. There was some talk that Josh Jacobs was trying to reset the market. Now, he disputed that with a tweet on Monday. But it's a cause and a cross that across the league, backs are taking up for one another, even those who are getting paid. Here's Austin Eckler, a guest on CBS Sports Radio with Zach Gelb on Monday.
From a player's aspect, we have no control of that. I have no control. So really who we want answers from is the ownership. Like, why are you doing this? What's the reasoning? Like, give us, like, you aren't interviewing them about it. Like, how many owners have you talked to about this? You know, zero. They ain't going to say anything either because for whatever reason, right, they got this thing going on where it's like a new trend. Let's not pay these guys. I don't know. Maybe they're just testing us. Like, hey, let's see what happens. But, you know, you poke the bear, you know, and, you know, you're going to make us have to do something.
It's a salty Austin Eckler. And I understand why. I don't know if these running backs were holding on to this idea that they would get paid or it was their offseason to get paid the way that wide receivers got paid last year. Remember, the money that wide receivers signed for in the 22 offseason. It seemed as though they were in cahoots. But the backs, they haven't seen that money flow for the most part. I mean, Derrick Henry is playing on a second deal that's a long term. Christian McCaffrey, same thing. And yet these guys who are among the highest paid in the league are still stumping for the rest. And then Jonathan Taylor can see it coming down the pike, right? Because he'll be a free agent after this season is done. Even Eckler himself, he was trying to find but a possible trade. Remember, he got permission. He and his camp had permission to talk to other teams about trades earlier this offseason. So there's a lot of guys who are frustrated. And yet this is status quo. This is standard operating procedure in the NFL when it comes to running backs. It's the aberration, not the rule, to pay your running backs big money. Now think about it. There is a hard salary cap in the NFL. One of the reasons why the league is so competitive, why half the playoff field turns over every year, is because the salary cap forces teams to make tough decisions. And I know it's not fair. I'm using my air quotations. It's not fair that NFL players can get cut at any time with no reason. We see salary cap casualties, if you will, every offseason, in large part because teams have to pay other positions. And yes, often it's quarterbacks. How fair is that? Principles of football. Run the ball, stop the run. You can be really good if you do those two things well. Run the ball, stop the run. And we're talking about a lot of running backs who had incredible production in 22. But it's also a position where you get banged up. Your body absorbs a lot of hits on a regular basis. In fact, the more carries, the more production, in many cases, the quicker your decline. And so when it gets to be 27, 28, the age of a running back, teams are already thinking about the future. They're already unwilling to pay for a long-term deal, a long-term contract, a bunch of guaranteed money when, A, by the time that deal would expire or the guaranteed money would run out or their cap hits would lessen, that back is over 30. And there are a few aberrations, right? There are. Frank Gore, Adrian Peterson. I can think of a few aberrations where they were still productive. And they're not the only ones. I'm just throwing those two out there. You can still be a viable piece of an offense. But when you're talking about a feature back who's going to take a lot of hits and is going to have a lot of carries or has already absorbed a ton of hits with a lot of action, well, you know there's a risk involved. Production, the numbers show, history shows, does decline drastically for most running backs as they get to be about 30 years old. So these teams balk at paying them big-time guaranteed money. How far apart were the Raiders and Josh Jacobs? I'll ask Hondo Carpenter when he joins us from Vegas. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Our show Twitter is After Hours CBS. Our Facebook page too. Oh my gosh. Later on the show, wait till I tell you what I had to pick up off my driveway on Monday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.